My friend brought me these, and it was evil. It was a full bag.
Alone, all by herself.
All by myself. Please don't buy me. Because I'm compelled to eat it because I don't waste anything. I'm not telling you what it is. You know why? Because I'll end up with 10 bags next event. I ain't telling you nothing. Carson? I have questions, so I'm going to give it to him while I eat some more. Even though I already ate.
Okay, so I can say my industry, right? Just not the company.
No.
So I'm becoming
a... great hair.
Thank you. You have great hair as well.
That's so sweet of you to say. Thank you.
It just fills the camera, actually.
My hair?
Yeah, it's like, I'm sitting back there and I'm like, wow. Because I have to look at the screen, so. All right. So, anyway.
It's all mine.
I had
no
hair
extensions.
Similar. Mine was similar in length
and
for a while.
And guess what else?
What?
This is a bedhead.
This too. I wake up like this.
Wake up like this. No joke. Yeah.
That's.
Yesterday was a bedhead too.
It's those essential oils, huh?
I don't put those in my hair. Yeah, this is a bedhead. I just tie it in a bun on top of my head and sleep in it, and then I literally, right before I'm walking out of the hotel room door, I let it out. I have no idea what it looks like. I'm not joking.
That's confidence.
I can't tell you what it looks like right now because I haven't seen it yet. I only have a few more bites left, so get on with it.
Okay. So I am becoming a financial advisor, which means it's my job to be an expert, but I'm brand new. So my question is for myself and anybody that's in a similar industry where it's our job to basically sell ourselves as an expert, but we don't really have experience in that industry yet. How do we go about basically closing people on the fact that we're someone that should be trusted and valued? Like, how do we demonstrate that value when we're new and we're supposed to be an expert?
Such a good question.
Thank you.
You're not going to like my answer. I've already answered it, actually. 50 different ways.
Okay. Well,
what are you really selling?
Myself.
Who's your ideal customer? What are you really selling? You're selling me you? I don't freaking want you.
I don't
freaking want you.
I thought you liked my hair.
He sells financial. I have a husband with no hair, so it's good.
Fair. Well, I guess.
Well, at least on his head.
What I'm.
All right, so hold on.
What I'm selling the
hold
customer
on.
Is their. Oh, okay.
Think about this. You say you're selling you. What's your product?
Now they know why I have the hair.
I did it. It's all gone. We're done.
So, repeat the question.
What are you selling? What is your product?
It's financial services and
what is your product?
It's people. I'm like asking the audience.
What's your product?
I mean it's people's future, really. I'm selling them security, I'm selling them.
So why are you selling you?
Okay, I see what you're saying. So I keep their focus on what I'm offering them, and if they see the value in what I'm selling
you're
for them.
You're so close. What's your product?
You okay?
Hey, I'm asking him.
So,
what is your product?
Financial security and wealth.
What is your product? Beep, wrong answer.
I don't know, people's future, really.
Your product is people.
Okay.
Your product is people, it's not financial services. And for all of you selling nutritional supplements, it's not vitamins. Those of you selling travel services, it's not travel services. Those of you selling gadgets, it's not gadgets. It's people. Your product is people. So then, how do you sell people people? You have to find out what they want and give it to them. So remember the woman that was up here before you? I asked her who her customer really was, and she says it's the mothers, right? Because that's who's paying for it, right? And what are you really selling? She says peace of mind, that their kid isn't going to be stupid in math because of me.
Right.
Right? So she's really selling peace of mind. What are you selling?
Security.
You're not selling Karsten with the gorgeous hair, the perfect, flawless beard, and that great smile.
I'm getting self-conscious of this.
You're adorable. And I'm old enough to be your mother. It's amazing.
She's back there already.
I'm sure she's
You'll have
my
to fight
age.
For her.
I'm sure she's my age or near it. Okay, so your product is people, and what you're selling is what they want for their future. You're not even selling security, dude.
I find their need, and I'm selling them their need.
Exactly. So if you assume everybody wants security, you've just limited your market. Completely. Right. If you're selling you, you've massively limited your market. And now you've made your business dependent on that hair.
Got it.
Or your personality.
Okay.
Okay? And that's really shaky ground. People might buy that initially, but whether or not they'll stick with you is another story. But if you sell them what they want, you don't have to resell them.
Which just goes back to your rule of form first.
Totally.
Got it.
And then same with closing.
Right.
So the close is not based on you. The close is based on what?
Whatever it is they've revealed that they need.
That's exactly right. So how do you get them to reveal what they need?
You ask questions and use the form thing to kind of discover where they lie and ask follow-up questions as they give you stuff to work with.
You got it. And so you lead them with what they say they want. And so, you know, young man, you seem kind of young to be a fiduciary. I'm just not so sure I could do business with you.
Am I supposed to respond now?
What would you say to that? Because number one, you think you're going to get that question, which is why you ask the question.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So whatever anticipated question you think you're going to get, and guess what that is? Why are you worried about that? Don't answer his question for him. My goodness.
Well, because I'm nervous that people won't trust me because I have limited experience.
Right. So you're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
You're nervous.
Mm-hmm.
People won't trust you. Do I have chips on my mouth?
I think you're good. You gotta do this. You're good.
Thanks. So you're nervous that people aren't gonna trust you because you're young and inexperienced. So you're nervous that people are not gonna trust you because you're young and inexperienced. I want you to keep your eyes on me. Can you see what's behind you?
No.
Dumb question, huh?
If you look at the screen just right, but...
No, the screen behind you is just going to show you... I mean, the screen over there is going to show you, you and me, because you're on screen right now, and they can see your nice beard. And dimples. You got dimples, man.
Okay.
Can you see behind you?
No.
Not at all. trying really hard to see behind you, aren't you? I can't see behind you. Turn around. Turn. Stay there. Can you see what's behind you now?
No.
Turn around. Hi.
Hi.
Can you see what's behind you now?
No.
Not at all, huh?
Okay.
So if you keep focusing on the fact that you're young and you have no experience, that is all you're going to provoke from all of your prospects. Mm. Because it's what you're looking at. And what you're looking at is what you're looking for. So you're looking for an answer, for an excuse, for an objection that probably will never come up.
It hasn't yet. Mm. It's just always in the back of my mind.
Well, it's about to if you keep that in the back of your head, right? But if you're focused on what the prospect truly wants, not what you think they want, that they're looking for security, right, that they're looking for more money, don't ever assume you know what that is. You ask them specific questions. So let's just say that somebody does say, you know, young man, you're awfully young. How can I trust you as my fiduciary? What's going to be your answer, Carson?
I mean, before I got up here, my answer was that I may be young, but I've done this before. I've helped a lot of people already.
You know, I don't really know about that. All I do know is that if you would like to have the security that you said that you wanted and that you wanted to make sure that your wife, if she were to be widowed, would be fully taken care of, and you would know that you were a good man, that you took care of your family and had all of your affairs in order, that even in the midst of your absence, you're still providing in the manly way that you should for your family. From what I gathered from our conversation, sir, that's a much bigger concern, is your wife and your children. Here's your application. Go ahead and fill it out.
So you don't even ask them to trust you or to try it out, and then you'll guarantee, you just... Completely ignore it and go back to what they...
What are you selling?
What they need. Okay.
So if I defend myself that I'm young, what now am I selling? That I'm not young?
So, okay. When you focus on yourself, you've switched the product.
Completely.
Cool. Thank you.
You're no longer selling the right thing if you are defending yourself. You completely switched the product and the presentation.
Cool. Thank you.
Isn't it?
Yeah, that's my aha moment.
Are you married?
No. I mean, after being on screen in front of all these people, I don't know what's going to happen. Thank you.
Thank you. You're going to kick some butt.
Thank you.
You're going to kill it. I don't know if you caught that. But closing is a closed loop. You asked the closing question. So what did you like about what you just saw? They give an answer, okay? They give an answer. If you keep asking them questions, they keep giving you answers. Tell me more about that. They continue to tell you more about what they liked. This is a closing question. They answer the question. They might give you an objection. If your focus is what it's supposed to be, and we just literally had the prime example of bringing Carson to the place, everything that I taught this morning, right? Everything that I taught on yesterday and the day before, which was your product is who? People, your product is not you. Your product isn't you. He thought he was selling himself as a fiduciary. No, you're not selling yourself. Your product is whatever the prospect wants. So if you are selling financial services, don't assume you know or think they want your financial services or your perception of your financial services. But when you ask the closing question, what did you like about what you just heard or saw? They give you an answer and they're telling you exactly what they've perceived that you've communicated to them. Tell me more about that. It takes us a little deeper. It's not just the surface. It takes it a little deeper as to what it is that is appealing to them. And they're also selling themselves on whatever that thing is. If you're focusing on the right thing, which means you're focusing on their perception of what they are about to purchase. Did you hear what I just said? Because they have a perception of what they think it is that you are presenting to them, because they're filtering what they're hearing through their need. They're filtering what you're communicating through their need, their interests, their goals, their life. Okay? Their awareness of what it is that you're communicating. That's what they're filtering, the information they're getting through. Remember, all of us use 10% of our brain. So that filter, they're grabbing information for what you're saying. The place where you get objections is the places where you provoke the objections. So in the case with him, that it's in the back of his mind that they're not going to trust him because he's young and inexperienced. That's what he's really communicating. Write this down. 93% of all communication is nonverbal. So even though his words are regurgitating the presentation, the script that he's learned through his training, what is he really communicating with his 93% nonverbal? What's he communicating? You don't trust me. You don't trust me because I'm young and I look young and I'm inexperienced and I look inexperienced. That's his 93. That's why we've been working on what we've been working on in our coaching, by the way, is getting underneath the nonverbal communication. Okay. So I hope I'm making the dots click in your head right now. 93% of all communication is nonverbal. So when we have Rebecca, who is afraid of being rejected and abandoned, even though she is reading her presentation script for her oils, what is she really communicating? I know you're going to reject me. I know you're going to abandon me. I know that this is going to hurt. So I am afraid to ask you the closing question. That's what she's really saying when she's saying, what did you like about what you just saw? You all have a lie-o-meter. Mm-hmm. How many of you know when someone's lying to you? Right? Sometimes you're wrong, right? But when it's your kids, how many of you say 9 out of 10 times you're right? I had this one son. I couldn't tell. So I pulled the gold card. You know, God will eventually tell me the truth. And he's like, he knew that was the truth. That one knew that was the truth. You know I pray. And you know that he will talk to me. So you know I will find out. It's so funny to hear my kids as adults talk about that still to this day. Yeah, and mom just brings the God thing into it and it's over. It's like, all right, I did it. Well, God knows what they did. So whether you tell me or not, he knows and he'll get you. Anyway. Okay, so you have a lie-o-meter, so does the prospect. The prospect knows whether or not you believe in what you're talking about and whether or not you are 100% consciously behind what it is that you are marketing. They know it. And so if you know that you are completely aligned with what you are doing, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Your posture is very relaxed. There is a smile on your face, and you know exactly how this thing is going to work itself out. Whether you close that deal today or it happens a year from now, because you know that you are going to stay in touch, you're going to honor the relationship, you're going to build relationship, and that relationship is going to surprise them, and eventually they're going to end up penning the deal. If you know that you're here for the long haul, it don't matter. So you know, I'm here, I'm going to be here, I'm here 20 years from now, I'm not quitting. I ain't looking for the next shiny deal that's sparkling out there for some 98%er who's jumping deal to deal to deal. I'm here. I'm doing this. We're going here, period, end of story. Come hell or high water, do or die, I'm there. So when you know that you're all in, there's a relaxation that comes over you in that close. You see, when that young man who's new to his profession has in the back of his head, I'm too young, I'm inexperienced, and you don't trust me, that's what he's saying. Yep. His entire body is saying, you don't trust me, you don't trust me, you don't trust me, you don't trust me. And therefore, here it is. I'm nervous to ask for the close, and I'm ready to defend myself when you ask me that question. So now we've got defensiveness. And what's the focus? Him, not the product. The real product, which is what you're really selling. And that product changes every presentation. Did you hear what I said? That product changes every presentation. That product changes every presentation. What? Oh, I'm sure the bones of it is exactly the same, but how you position it is determined based on who you're talking to. Do you understand? How it's positioned is totally based on who you're talking to. Okay, so closing is a closed loop. So you ask the closing question, you get the answer. That prospect is selling themselves on the answer. If you get an objection, I will tell you this, it's high, it's at least 95% of the time you provoke the objection simply because you are not aligned with their goal. But you are thinking of yourself and you have yourself in the way of the process. And it could be that you're thinking, don't think, just listen. So they give you an objection 95% of the time. It's an objection that you provoked because of the nonverbal communication, right? What do I say next? Are they going to reject me? Should they trust me? Whatever's in the back of your head. Like, but how do I change what's in the back of? Can you see what's behind you? Why can't you see what's behind you? Because your eyes are not in the back of your head is why you can't see what's behind you. But what can you see? What's in front of you? You can see what's in front of you. You cannot see what's behind you because of your eyes. Whatever it is that you're looking at, whatever it is that you're focused on, whatever you're directing your attention on is what you see. And you cannot see what is behind you. So what if you just focused on what the prospect wanted? Not what you perceived, not what you think they should want. Please hear me on that one. Often amateurs will sell what they think the prospect should want. That's not listening. No, you should want this because. BS. What are you laughing at? Have you ever done that? Yeah, right? Because we do. We try to tell them what they should have. No. Listen to what they want, and I promise you what you have will fit. It fits whatever the need is. Does it 100% of the time? No. But if you're in front of a qualified prospect, you've identified who the person is that it is you're looking for, then yes, it's a match. If you're talking to somebody that it's not a match for, meaning you didn't identify your ideal customer, then that part of it isn't a match, but then now we go to plan B. Who do you know? And what do you need? So remember on Saturday, we talked about form. If you find somebody that doesn't, that you don't have the ability to match that need, but they still have a need, don't they? So what do? You refer, remember my daughter. My daughter's not in business with her friend that has a housekeeping business. Why is she helping her promote? She's building community. She's building relationship, right? That will eventually come back to her as somebody, either it's Elizabeth herself or Elizabeth's customers that get referred to Zach for insurance. Do you understand? So it's either I can give a referral and I can point this person in the direction to fill their need. Let's say that what you have doesn't fill their need. I can fill their need another way. Okay. And continue to build relationship, continue to stay in touch, follow up to see how that lead that you gave them did. And eventually that could perhaps come into another a referral from that person. So no matter what, every person you're in front of has the potential of one of two things. You ready? One of two things. One is a potential buyer for you, or two is a potential referral. They're a potential referral that eventually will come back to you. One or the other, every human that's standing in front of you, it's a potential buyer or a potential referrer. To get a referral, you give referrals. So you find a way to help them, direct them to something that is that they need, a problem that is that they reveal to you that needs to be solved. You direct them to that. You follow up with them to make sure that that went well. That's how you can cultivate referrals in that direction. Because if you help other people get what they want, then you will get what you want. Does that make sense? So if you have provoked an objection, okay, whatever the objection is, it really doesn't matter. The answer then there is simple. It's really simple. If you professionally don't want to say, I don't know about that, you can simply say, I hear your concern. I understand where it is that you're coming from. However, I did notice that you were saying,
good.
Fill it in. I understand and I hear where you're coming from. However, I did hear that you were saying that the kind of man that you are that has provided so diligently for your family all these years, that you want to make sure and continue to do that even after you have passed on. That you want your wife to remember all that you have done for her because you will continue to still be doing it even after you're gone. And that's just if, of course, he said that to me. Right? If that's what he said to me, that the reason why he needed or what he liked about my death services, my life insurance. I'm just poking fun. Something you could use be funny, actually. To make people laugh, right? Be unusual, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It would be unusual. Yeah. And you're like, that's what everyone else, no one's ever marketed that way either. Mm-hmm. So how about some death insurance? What? You know that's what it is. Yeah. Okay. Well, I like to call it the good man package.
Exactly.
Let your legacy be a hero forever.
Yeah.
He's getting it. He's so teachable. I love him. Okay, so anyway, if you do provoke the objection, again, I understand where you're coming from. I hear you. However, I did hear you say, and so now what do we do? We bring it right back again. Closing is a closed loop. So we go back to, I did hear you say that it was important to you that even after you are gone, that your wife is still the one you're caring for and your children, and that your legacy would go on, that you are the hero, the patriarch of this family, because you not only thought of when you were here, but you thought of when you were gone. And the last thing you wanted to do was have your wife worry about where she's going to get money to pay the bills or to pay for food. And you didn't want vultures coming after her, as it does happen every single day all over the world. The vultures come out of the woodworks to soak a widow dry. And the fact that you are the protector that you are for not only your wife while you're here, but also while you're gone. So, sir, that's something that I would love to do with you. Here's your application. Do you need a pen? Closed loop. Here you go. That's an assumption close too. You take you out of it. You take the objection out of it. And you remind them of what they said they wanted. Do you understand? That's not you selling. That's you keeping them closed on the loop of the need that they shared with you. That's keeping them just focused on what they said they wanted, not you selling what you want to sell to them. Does that make sense? And so insurance, a pen, can be positioned 1,000 different ways. And it's all based on the eye of the beholder. It's all based on what the needs are of the individual. Okay? Okay, cool. Got that done. Carson, I'm so glad that you asked that question, because that was like a really perfect example of being able to take what we've been talking about and drilling it down to a reality, right? Because even you're sitting there going, but how do I sell myself? Aren't you glad you don't have to? Isn't that awesome that you don't have to? You don't have to. All you have to do is ask questions and listen. And when you get an objection, you just tie it right back down to what they want, and that's it. So, and if they're giving you guff, it's real simple. Well, I can understand. However, you don't want like your neighbor to be the one to get all the glory for being the hero of his family, do you? And as the women are having tea together, and they're talking about their late husbands. Because you know they do. I'm sure you want to be the one that is celebrated by the other wives as well. It's a reality. It's a real picture. George, that jerk, he didn't... Yeah, I wish my husband would have been like yours. That's exactly it right there. What'd you say? That is gold. The other guys are like, get some life insurance now. Talk to Chris Stallings. Yeah. It's kind of how I closed my husband on getting life insurance policy, by the way. It is. I had to close him. He's like, we have plenty of money. I'm like, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. The last thing in the world I need to worry about was, where do I find it? How do I access it? What are the rules with it? I don't want to think about that. To me, for some reason, whether I've been advertised to so much, life insurance seems safer. I don't know why. It just does seem safer. Why? I mean, because who knows? Anything could happen with the money that we have. Anything. Smart. She sells insurance too. Seriously, so what? Today we have millions of dollars. You know, 10 years from now we might not. You don't know. You just never know. So I don't want to count on that. No way. No way. And I don't want to worry about it. I don't sell insurance, just so you know. But we bought some. Absolutely. Oh, and by the way, we bought some. Are you ready for this, young man, Mr. Fiduciary? We bought some from John Paletti's 22-year-old son. We were like his second deal that he ever penned. So excuse me? He's totally younger, I think, than you, and much less experienced than you, right? Why did we buy it? Just to support Austin. Make sense? Cool. All right. I'll take another question, then I'm going to move on to something else. Chelsea. Okay, you too. Come here, gorgeous. I must be... I don't know, never mind. I was going to say, I must be scaring the guys. But we just had a guy up here. Hi, beautiful.
Hi.
Are you dating yet?
No.
Okay, I was just asking.
I think my face just turned red.
You felt the flush?
Yep, it went punk.
She is so stunning, and she's beautiful inside and out.
Thank you.
Amazing young woman. Okay.
Our team is super ready for Nicaragua, by the way.
So who what?
Our team is ready for Nicaragua.
I know.
They're awesome.
I'm excited, and I heard you're leading it.
Yes.
And I love it.
Thank you. My question is, I'm in real estate. I'm in commercial real estate. Mm-hmm. And we have properties listed on the market. And so people will call about the properties and they'll ask certain questions and through asking, okay, what are you looking for? And I kind of drill down, okay, this building is not going to work for them. So then the goal from there is, instead of saying, okay, bye, sorry, and hang up, the goal is to convert them for us to represent them and as helping them purchase or lease their office space. So I'm looking for a script to say to... the goal either to get like a meeting with him one-on-one so I can sit down and kind of go through a presentation, or if I can just do it over the phone and kind of tell you what I have been doing, but I've kind of been winging it because I know I need a script because it's not working all the time.
So you're expecting something to work all the time?
No.
Liar. Liar. Lying is a sin.
Yes. Okay, fine, yes. My lead was supposed to work, so.
Okay, so watch this. Okay, so have you tracked how many of these phone calls you have had and how many you have been able to convert into you now representing them?
And you're going to ask me that question, and I have to say no. I'm tracking other things in my other areas in the business.
So you just told me that you want to improve this part of the business, that you want to take a no and you want to convert it into a yes, and you're saying it's not working all the time. Well, how do you know it's not working if you haven't tracked anything?
I definitely agree with what you're saying.
So if this is an area you want to improve, mm-hmm. you start tracking.
Right.
So you see that with what, because you just said my script isn't working.
Not 100% of the time, which I know it's never going to work 100% of the time.
But like, what percentage of the time is it working?
Like 60 or 70?
You're guessing?
Yeah. I know I need to track it. I know. I need a script.
No, you don't. Your script might be perfect.
But it's like it changes sometimes.
Well, stop doing that.
I know.
Because if you're actually tracking, you're sticking to one particular script, and you're tracking the results that that is getting and determining whether or not you should stick with that script. What you're doing might not be broken, so let's try. Hello.
Crap. Okay. So hello.
You say hello.
You're calling about a particular. Okay.
Say hello.
You're calling about a particular.
Say hello.
Hello.
Hi. I'm calling about the property on 5th and Wesson.
Usually I miss their calls and I call them back so I can use your script, the beginning part of
you
it.
You purposely miss a phone call?
No,
a live
not
call?
Always. It just happens sometimes.
Okay. I was just checking.
No, ma'am.
Okay.
But I'll shut up and I'll just follow all directions. So, hello.
So you're calling me back. Hello.
Okay. Hey, Danny. Oh, sorry. No, that's not what I say. Can I get my script? I have my script. I can get it? Okay, good.
Come here. We'll let her get her script and we'll go back to her. Okay, what's your question?
All right.
Hi, gorgeous.
Oh, guys, by the way, I prayed yesterday. I didn't know that you had questions.
I know. I sometimes do. I sometimes don't.
Yeah, I prayed that I would actually get to ask you this yesterday.
Well, my name is Danny.
I'm Havila.
Havila?
Yes.
You're just so sweet and so beautiful, and your hair is amazing, and what can I do for you?
All right. I just started, network marketing.
Okay.
And
you shouldn't go around telling people that.
That's okay. Okay, I'm in a business in sales.
No, you're in a business. All businesses do sales.
Yeah.
I work with a company.
Okay, I work with a company.
If you walk around telling people I'm in network marketing, you will only provoke objections.
Okay.
People have a preconceived idea of what they think it is, so you want to represent your business as a business, not in a network marketing business. Okay. In fact, at this stage in the game, I coined the term home business years ago, 15, 20, 20 years ago. No, 25 years ago. I coined the phrase home business. It's gone crazy all over the place. A better term would be I'm in business. Mm-hmm. Or I work for a company. I work with a company. Why? Because now home business is out there like crazy, now being associated with network marketing. Even though there's lots of different types of home businesses out there, I know that what the scripts say, just take home out. Just take home out. So you don't have to say, I have a home business. No, you have a business. It's a business. Is it not?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It's a business. And if you don't feel good about saying, I have a business, that makes you nervous to say that, which when I was your age, I never told anyone I had a business, even though I was a CEO of two companies, two multi-million dollar companies I was a CEO of, and I never told anybody I had a business.
I had to work up the courage to say it. I said it.
You don't even have to say it. You don't even have to say it. Just say I work with a company.
Yeah.
You do. Right. Don't you work
Rewind.
With a company, right? Do you
work
with a company?
With a company. Yes.
Yeah. Is that a little easier?
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Actually,
yeah, there's no pressure.
It makes me feel a little more like confident.
Yes.
I know what I'm doing. I work for a company, guys.
Yeah, it's good. Because it's true.
Yes.
Guess what? That's what I say I do.
Okay.
I still don't tell people I own businesses.
Okay.
Yeah. I work with an organization that feeds orphans and takes care of the sick.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I do.
All right. So
what do you do?
I just started in a business with a company. I am 17 years old.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
And I'm very young.
You are?
I am very young for a lot of people, a lot of kids that I've met. I look at them
about.
And
guess what you're thinking about?
I'm young.
Yes, and you're using it as an excuse.
I am.
Don't do that. Using you as an excuse doesn't pay any money.
Okay. Thank you.
Solving the needs of a prospect makes you money. Mm. Using your age as an excuse doesn't make you money.
Okay.
So can you just focus on forming people, finding their need, mm-hmm. and filling it,
mm-hmm.
and then cash the check?
Yeah.
That's
ka-ching.
It. Yeah, that's
or
all.
Judging.
That's it. You got it.
Yes. So, in the market, how would I present myself to a male? Because I'm more comfortable with females.
Why?
I have issues. I do. And I've been getting over them, especially this past Saturday, which was absolutely amazing. But going back, how
do you know
would
what
I
means?
Present myself?
Do you know what butt means?
Butts. Many things.
You're so adorable. She reminds me of Jordan Niederhaus. Yes. Doesn't she? So reminds me of Jordan. She's about your age, and she's a little entrepreneur and makes all kinds of money because she doesn't use her excuse or her mm-hmm. age or gender mm-hmm. as a stumbling block.
Yeah.
So you just gave me another excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think you could just focus on finding a need in a human being?
Yes, definitely.
And fill the need.
Yes. I knew you would say that, but I wanted to get it from you.
Give her the mic. Cute pants. Hot. Adorable.
Thank you.
All right. Hello.
Hey, Danny. How's it going?
Good.
Good. This is Chelsea. I was calling you back. You requested more information about 123 building. What can I do for you?
Why do you sound like you're reading?
Crap. I'm trying to keep my voice like lower so I don't have, hi, how's it going? Like, try not to have the high pitchy, okay.
I think you're trying too hard. Why are you trying so darn hard? Did you not repent for perfection on Saturday night? Do you know what repent means? Go in the opposite direction. Quit trying so freaking hard. Be your freaking self. Be yourself.
Yeah.
Hello, you didn't get that. That was a $1 million tip right there. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Be yourself. Do you see me trying to be something that I'm not up here? If anyone should be trying to be something that I'm not, it should be me up here. You got 2,000 eyeballs picking me apart at the moment. I got who, what? Be yourself. Be yourself. You are an original.
Yes.
You're amazing. You are wonderfully and awesomely made for what it is that you are doing. There are a people that are called specifically to you, and if you're not you, they're going to keep looking. Does that make sense? Because the people are called to you, Chelsea. They're looking for you, Chelsea. They're looking for you, Chelsea. They're looking for you, Chelsea. And if you ain't being you, they're going to keep looking for Chelsea. But they don't know where to find her.
That's good.
Yes, ma'am. Hello.
Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Oh, there she is. Good. What's up?
Good, this is Chelsea. I was just calling you back. You requested more information now about racetrack building. What can I do for you?
You're starting to turn into someone else again.
Crap.
Yeah.
Do you like walk around?
Okay.
Mess your hair up.
Mess your hair up. You'll be fine.
Yeah. Personable, lovable.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What building are you talking about?
12610 Racetrack Road.
I want you to get to know me faster.
I need to get to know you faster.
Okay.
Yeah. Can we start over then?
Uh-huh.
Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Good.
Good. This is Chelsea. I was just calling you back. You requested more information about 12610 Racetrack Road Boulevard. What can I do for you?
Oh, Gosh, which property was that?
It's the one on Racetrack Road, 1260 Racetrack Road. You left me a voicemail, so I'm just calling you back. What can I do for you?
Yep, that's not you, Chelsea. What does it look like? Where's that?
I called in like 7 or 8 properties, actually.
Okay, well, it's... So if you're driving down Racetrack Road, there's like that big Winn-Dixie, right? You pass the Winn-Dixie, there's a Nutrition Smart. It's the building right behind there, and it's 3 stories.
Okay, yeah, so what about it?
Well, can you tell me more about what you're looking for?
Good job. That was good. But I'm actually wanting to modify you for a minute. I know you're taking it from a home business script, and I love that. And that works great for someone who responded to leads and looking for a home business.
I've mirrored that and then the real estate script.
Yes. That was smart.
Okay.
That was really, really smart. Okay, so let's do that again, okay? Hello?
Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Good.
Good, this is Chelsea. I was calling you.
You should have said good, right?
I shouldn't have said good. That's super cheesy and dumb.
You're overanalyzing again.
Sorry. Hey, Danny. Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Good.
Good, this is Chelsea. I was calling you back. You requested more information about 12610 Racetrack Boulevard. What can I do for you?
Don't give me the frickin' address.
Okay.
It's too much information.
Okay. Hey, Danny, how's it going?
It's too professional. Okay. You're not being my friend.
Yeah.
So you're coming off as a friend, and then you're, like, turning into this other thing. So don't give me the address.
Okay.
Okay? All right, so go ahead.
Hey, Danny, how's it going?
Good.
Good, this is Chelsea. I was calling you back. You requested more information about an office building. What can I do for you?
Oh, which office building did I call on? There we go. That's exactly why I don't want you to tell me which one it is. Because now you're getting me involved in a conversation with you.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Which building did I call on?
So this is when I give you the address, or should I say save us both time? Do you have a pen and paper handy so I can ask you a few questions? I know which properties to direct you to?
Yes.
Okay. Okay,
In fact, to be honest with you, I would just say that. So, ring, ring.
Hello?
Hi, Chelsea, how's it going?
Good, who's this?
This is Danny, I'm calling you back. You requested some information about a building.
Yeah. I've been driving around a lot doing a bunch of that.
Have you? How you doing today?
Good.
Good. To save us both some time, I need to ask you a few questions to figure out which buildings to actually direct you to.
Okay, sure.
Okay. So, where are you from?
I'm from Tampa.
Tampa? Really? What part of the city?
Downtown.
What do you do?
I own a factory.
What kind of factory?
That's the worst thing ever to pick.
What kind of a factory?
Can I change my profession?
What kind of a factory?
A clothing factory.
A clothing factory. How long have you been in that business?
5 years.
So are you looking to relocate that business, or?
We are, yeah. Our production's really increased, so we need to expand. We're busting at the seams.
Wow, good for you. How in the world are you doing that?
I just made a joke about what I just said.
That was really good. That was really, really good.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, I would absolutely go into, hey, I just need to ask you a few questions to figure out which buildings to actually direct you to. I think that's a great way to go, and now you've got the permission to go in and start forming the person.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I just want to get an understanding of exactly what it is that you're looking for, because there could be multiple different options for you, and we definitely want to find the best option for your needs.
Right. So what I was doing before when I was... They asked about the one particular property, and I just asked, they tried to ask me questions about it, and I would flip it.
Basically, what you're acting like is a customer service person that's just giving information instead of building relationship.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you see the difference? So you're saying, you know, you called in reference to order number, da-da, like, and, yes, so what? You know what I mean? Versus, especially with who you're dealing with. You're dealing with people of high level.
Yeah, high level executives.
Exactly. And so I don't want to be treated like a customer service situation. And that's kind of how you're coming across, is with giving me the address, which I can't even hear. I'm driving or I've got something else going on. You know what I mean? So I'm not even connecting to that. So, hey, you called us about a building. I just need to ask you a few questions to figure out which buildings to direct you to make sure that we are customizing according to your need. Okay. So where are you from?
Okay.
What do you do? How long have you been in business? What's going on with that business?
Right.
What are you looking to? Are you looking to relocate? You looking to add additional buildings? Like, you know what questions to ask, right? And get in and inform them so that you can really find what that main need is and say, you know, I probably have a couple of different properties I could show you.
So instead of having to go from...
Do you see the premise? You're giving them an order number, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's where that conversation's ending. Nope, that one's not available.
Before, what I was doing, they would give me the address and I would talk to them about it. I would flip it and ask them a question what they were looking for instead of answering their question. Then I would say, okay, that wouldn't work, but then I would kind of like go on this script.
That wouldn't work makes me mad. So the fact that you can give me options of what will be customized, because that tells me that you might know of some things that I don't know about. Just because I saw one that I think might work doesn't mean that's the best one for me.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Can I ask you a follow-up question?
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, the goal is usually what I've been doing is using the real estate script about, so based on the information you provided, I'm going to direct you to a few properties just off the top of my head to send that to you by blank, save you their time, take about 20 minutes to look over them, that piece.
Yep.
So to get at the properties in front of them, because that's, from what I found, that's the goal. They just want to see properties.
They want to see it right the heck now.
Okay, so what I have, sometimes it takes longer. Like, I can't do it till the end of the day.
Sure.
Or maybe sometimes the next morning, so that I'm setting up an appointment. Hey, when do you think you'll be able to look through those properties, get them on the phone, and drill through that down them together? Next step, close them on us being a fiduciary relationship with helping them locate, to negotiate, and move them into their office space.
Sure.
Okay.
I think that's great. So what if it doesn't? So, and you want to be upfront with that. So you want to say, you're busy, what's your schedule like? When is the earliest that you think you would have the time to look at the properties through the email?
Okay.
Right? Because if you say, I'll get it to you in 20 minutes, and he ain't going to look at it for 3 hours, why would you do that?
Yeah, that's,
Right? So you can say, when is the best time for you to receive an email from me that you can look at some properties right away? Will that be in 3 hours from now, tomorrow morning? What would work best for you?
Would it be, because it's a... I have a feeling we were probably going to say to this, but I'm asking anyways. Would it, depending, because it's a kind of a high like ticket out item, you know, we're selling like $300,000, $400,000, dollar buildings or whatever their leases are. Sometimes we found getting in front of them from that phone call, just getting in front of him, let's go get coffee and we'll have our presentation there, bring out that. Should I track trying in person versus on the phone and see what works best? Because sometimes people are just like, just send me properties. I don't have time to meet you.
Absolutely. They are too busy and I wouldn't go and meet with you. Sorry.
Right.
So I get that guy.
Okay.
I'm busy. I need my answers and I want them as soon as I can get them.
And I'm just going to close them on the phone.
Are you afraid of not being able to close them on the phone?
No, I've done it before.
Uh-huh.
So I know I can do it and I have the skill set to do it because you've taught me.
Then there's not a problem there. And I think as you build relationship with them and you say, hey, you know what? I'm in the area. What's your location, by the way? Where are you from? And I actually would like to see what you're already in so I can get a really good idea as to what I'm trying to take you into.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can tell me what's wrong with where you're at now.
Yeah. We'll ask, like, what do you not like about your space?
Did you hear what I just said? What's your location? I would like to see it so you can point out to me or have your assistant or whoever point out to me exactly so I can get a visual of what you like about it and what you don't like about it and specifically what it is that you're looking for. So there's no guesswork and we save each other time.
Right.
Now you get face to face.
And when
using who and what? Their need.
Right.
Not
their need,
you
their
trying
goal.
To get coffee with them because I close better face to face.
Yeah. Got it. With the agreement that they sign, it's a legal document, so oftentimes they have to send it to their attorney.
So
if they say, I need to send it to my attorney, it takes 48 hours, sometimes it takes a week, but then you see properties right away, do I just sit and wait for them to sign it just to qualify them? Are you telling me who that cares?
Took me a year and a half to sign an entertainment agreement. Because for a year and a half, attorneys were going back and forth about what our needs were. We kept the relationship going. So you're going to keep serving them regardless if you have that arrangement going. You keep that relationship going, and it's getting signed by that attorney. Why wait? You're assuming for something to go wrong.
That they'll say no to it and or give an objection or, I don't want to agree with this. Why am I going to pigeonhole myself into working with one broker?
Come here. You're doing the same thing everybody else was doing.
Yes! Good. Then I identified my crap, and I can get over it. Yes!
That's what you're doing. Okay. You're literally, again, what are you selling?
Their needs and goals. They need office space because they had five, now they have 10 employees, and they increase their profits and have a better all morale and actually reach millennials because they care about office space and all that, yeah.
Okay, so that's their need.
Right.
So why are you putting up your objections?
Because I'm stupid, Ruth, I need to locate and cut it off.
That's what it is.
It's just you're focused on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So if we're really focusing on serving that prospect and we're really focused on making a long-term business relationship with that person, which, by the way, that person knows lots of other business people, right?
Right. Oh,
bring you into a circle and a network and people that he would say, you've got to call Chelsea. It's the only person you want to work with in town.
Right.
Right. So if you're all worried and all of a sudden you freeze up, if it takes 48 hours for a document to be signed or they're going to go back and forth on it, who cares?
Who cares? But I'm still.
But you're still serving them. You're still making a difference in them. You're still building a relationship with them. Remember, we have two things, two possible things that happens with a prospect. What is it?
They're either our client or they're going to refer us to someone else.
So if you drop them like a hot rock because of an agreement that couldn't be signed, what did you just cut yourself off from?
And like an orchard.
You cut off both.
Yeah.
Right? You cut off the potential as a customer and you cut off the referral opportunity.
Can I give you an example of what just happened with that recently?
Yeah.
I had a physician, first time ever working with a broker, coming on his own looking for office space, and I sent it to him, and it was very kind of like, he's like, whoa, this is really intense, I'm not signing anything. And I said, don't worry, not a problem, but I honored and served and worked with him just like if you would have signed
it. Exactly.
So I've done that before, but I didn't know this. You know how you have like a qualifier for them to see if they're they're in it or not? That's our like qualifier of like, how serious are you? Sign this, because if you're gonna go walk around work with other brokers, I'm not wasting my time with you, bro. So
why?
Because if I'm working with one person, fiduciary, then I can represent them and do my best to work diligently.
I know, but
everything.
So what if they have two or three of you?
What do you mean? What if there's?
So what if they have two or three of you?
But I'm not just showing them my properties. They're all the properties on the market.
Yeah,
that
but you're going to be
showing.
The one that's going to impress them the most, and because of relationship, they're going to want to do business with you. So why are you worried if he's worried working with anybody else?
Crap, Danny.
Do you not know how to shine above those other competitors?
Yeah, totally. I just always saw it as like,
no.
This is total dumb. I thought it was like as a qualifier. Like, if you're committed, you're going to sign this, so I know. Okay.
Xtina, you're hearing this, right? Nothing. We had some other business discussion on a coaching appointment just like this. Yeah. What does it matter?
I've done deals before where somehow we got cut out of a commission.
And, oh, well?
Because...
Did you keep in touch? Or did you get all mad and get your chonies caught up in a wad?
No chonies in a wad because I know I reap what I sow, so I'm not going to go down that path. But.
Yeah, but did you stay in touch? Did you still honor? Did you still send a thank you card? And,
yeah.
You know, I understand that you went with someone else, but if ever I...
No, I worked with them. We executed a lease, but I never got paid because the landlord wouldn't pay us.
That's the landlord. That's a totally different deal than the prospect that we're talking about.
Right.
Right? That's a completely different deal.
Mm-hmm.
So did you keep serving the person?
Mm-hmm.
As though you got paid?
Wait, did I serve the person? Yeah. Well, I serve them all the way, then we end up not getting paid.
Okay, so was the landlord the one that hired you?
No, the
tenant.
Thank
you very much. So the tenant was the one that you helped?
Yes, ma'am.
That was your customer?
Yes, ma'am.
And?
Yeah, I served him really well.
There you go.
Okay. This makes it so much easier.
I know. That's my job.
I just love you.
I love you too. Okay, that's awesome. Give me a hug.
Thank you. Guys.
Good job. All right. Okay, cool. It's time for a break. You need to go pee. You need to wash your hands. Yeah, it's been an hour and 15 minutes. It's time to relieve yourself. Go do that. They're so sweet. I receive it. Okay. For those of you who are... Okay, we have like an hour and 15 minutes left. 1 hour? Did someone just say 1 hour? It's exact 1 hour and 4 minutes left. And actually, now it's 1 hour and 3 minutes and 55 seconds left. As long as I need. Yeah, I wish. So to wrap up this very last hour, I want to focus in on just a couple of quick things. Number one, we kind of started today about helping other people to succeed. There's a couple of different paths to do that with, and tying in form and gems, again, this whole closing conversation that's been weaved through throughout the day, also in keeping the focus where the focus should be. There's some easier paths that you can use in helping people to succeed also. Oftentimes when we are trying to lead people to a better place, we kind of take on more responsibility than we should. And the responsibility that we take on, that we should not take on, is that it is our job to make sure they succeed. And it is not our job to make sure they succeed. People are always going to tell you what they think you want to hear. They're going to tell you that they do want to make six figures, or they do believe in your vision and your values and the mission that you're on. They will tell you just to be able to fit in, just to fit into it, they're gonna sing your song right along with you. But the reality is that time is the only thing that will tell where their commitment is, which is when I brought in that whole, we'll see 90 days from now where you're at, and 90 days from there, whether or not you're still teachable, and 90 days from there, whether or not you let your success go to your head, and whether or not 5 years from now, you're still going to be around. 10 years from now, are you still going to be around? That sets a precedence that we kind of know in advance that you're on trial, and that it's up to you as to whether or not you're going to step up to the plate and actually do something. So that does two things. One, for you, it's setting the precedent, even the expectation for you, that it's their job. It's not your job to drag anyone across the finish line. So for those of you who feel guilty when people do not achieve their goals, or you feel guilty when people don't succeed at the place where they said they wanted to, that is a self-imposed guilt. And it is also because you've taken on the responsibility to be God. It is. Because even he will not impose his will on anyone. He won't impose his will on you. You have to submit to his will. So when people choose not to follow directions, and they choose not to stay committed, they choose not to read the appropriate books, they choose not to read the scripts, they choose not to bring the clothes, they choose not to return to first steps, they choose not to take the next step of going to creating a dynasty, do this. Your hands are clean. You did your job. You led them to the place where they can make the choice to learn. You have to think about, okay, you're rising up in leadership, whether it's leadership in the home or in the marketplace. You're rising up into a leadership level. You're the one paying the price to do it. You're the one digging in on yourself. You're the one pressing play. You're the one following directions. You're the one putting yourself through some scary places in order to learn. You're the one persisting. You're the one managing and learning to handle the rejection that once in the beginning it really bothered you and buried you, and now it doesn't anymore. Why? Because you're continuously working on yourself, right? You're doing all this. So when people even say to me, wow, thank you, Danny, for changing my life, I know for a fact I didn't do squat to change their life. I'm nothing but a moment in time. I just am a bleep in their entire lifespan. that whether it was my very presence that made them think something different or something that fell out of my mouth, but you were the one that acted upon it. You were the one that read the scripts. You were the one that made the dials. You were the one that made the clothes. You were the one that pushed yourself. You're the one that pressed play when you didn't want to. You were the one that borrowed the money to come to that first steps or first 10 first steps. You were the one that made the sacrifice. So it's on you, it's on the individual. So even when people try to give me credit for their success, I know that I cannot possibly take it. I wasn't there with you, dragging you every single day, busting your chops. No, just even the woman who said, you know, she went in to buy something and she's like, and you will not believe it, Danny showed up right there and said, don't do it. No, I wasn't there, I promise. I was not there, but she has listened enough to where, bam, it was in her subconscious mind that, you know, here it came right in front of her. Like, okay, yes, ma'am, I won't do that. You know, that's awesome. I think that's great, you know. But the fact is that as much as I cannot take credit for anybody's success, I also am not going to take credit for anyone's failure. So hold on, listen to me. So what's the real hidden motive of you being guilty? She just got it. What's the real hidden motive for you feeling the pressure to make other people succeed? What's the real motive here? Because you want the credit for when they do succeed. This is why you feel guilty if they fail. Straight up ego. If you don't care who gets the credit, you'll be unusually successful. And if you don't care who gets the credit, you can refer them to whatever it is that they need in order for them to succeed. And if you don't care who gets the credit, if they choose to fail, you're going to love them when they're failing. If you don't care who gets the credit, you'll be there when they fall and when they rise and take credit for nothing. Because just as much as it is on you, it's hard enough for you to succeed, it's the same for them. It's hard enough for them. Does that make sense? So it's not your responsibility. All you are is a director of traffic. That's it. You are a director of information. You direct people to where they can participate with the information so that they can succeed. It's up to them to press play, up to them to read, up to them to be focused, up to them to be persistent. It's up to them. So where is the line of how much do you follow up with your people and follow up with your team or work with your employees? Where's the line? It needs to be a healthy boundary line. And the first thing that has to be right is your motive. Your motives is what has to be right. And so if your motive is to get the credit, that's the wrong motive. You're going to push people and they're going to burn out, and so will you. If the motive is truly about their success, then what does that really mean? Look at that. We've been talking about this all day, right? So remember, what are we selling? We're selling what the prospects want. Our product is people, and what we're selling is what that person wants. Okay? So if that person or the prospect, when you go home, how many of you work full-time for somebody else? Okay? So you have a boss that is your prospect. You have coworkers that is your prospect. You're like, prospect for what? I'm not selling anything. Yes, you are. You're selling your services. You're selling them on keeping your skill set in place. You're selling them on perhaps giving you a bonus or a raise. And if you're not selling them that, then you're going to find out that maybe you might get fired at some point. So it's meeting a need. So it's forever finding what that need is. So that prospect, whatever that need is for that person, If that's their success, you help them get that by what? Simply encouraging them. And if you're hearing a need, you're directing them where they could perhaps get the need filled, or maybe you can fill the need yourself. Maybe you can have the initiative to go, how can I help their job get a little easier? How can I help fill in the blank? Oop, a ball is dropping. Let me catch that. Okay? So when it comes to helping people to succeed, you want to make sure that you have some kind of a plan or a path that you can direct them to. And again, all you do is encourage them and remind them what they said they wanted in the success. Do you understand? What they determined they wanted. Some people want to go halfway. Some people want to go all the way. Some people want to go no way. Some people just want to hang out. And that's okay. Did you hear what I said? Some people just want to hang out. And that's okay. That's perfectly fine. If let me tell you something. How many of you come from some pretty messed up backgrounds? And how many of you are perhaps going home to some people that are just not the healthiest people in the world to be around? I'm not talking about that they have asthma or something. Do you understand? I'm talking about healthy here, okay? Whether they're manipulative or they are, they've got fits of rage or whatever. They're just like not healthy people. They're not healthy in their heart. We all have people like that in our lives, right? So how do we manage that? How do we not? That's really funny. This thing is supposed to keep me on time. It's not started. That's if I see it. We've actually been doing pretty darn good with time and breaks this event. So I'm really, that was a personal goal of mine, to let you pee. Wanted to create a better overall experience for everybody, that their backs weren't killing them, just because I can drink like a camel and not have to pee every 10 minutes. Doesn't mean everybody else can. Okay, that's good. I got it. Yep. Thank you. Okay, so starting people right. You're going home to some people that are not healthy. Okay. Your expectation of them better not be for them to be healthy. Your expectation of them can't be for them to be healthy. So your expectation of them needs to be what they are living like and what they want to live like and how they're living is telling you exactly how they want to live. So the people that you're even signing up are taking on as customers, right? Some of those people are healthy. Some of those people are not healthy. That's the reality. So depending on who it is, again, you have to listen to what they say they want to do with whatever business venture it is that you're offering them, and you let them do it. You don't try to corral them to do something they don't want to do. So I said some are here just for the environment. Why? You just said to me that you have people in your life that are unhealthy. For some people, this is the only place that they can come to where they can feel safe, that they feel wanted, where they feel honored, where they feel respected, where they laugh, where they actually have the opportunity to be asked, what do you want to do with your life? This, for some people, is the only safe place, the only somewhat healthy people, because not all of us in here is healthy, including me. I'm not 100% healthy in every area of my life. Give me a break. I am working on everything just like I'm challenging you to work on everything, and I work on it in front of you. In front of you. I'm not hiding my flaws. I'm exposing my flaws. So the fact is that for some of us, I will say, for me personally, you are a place that I want to be around. That's part of the reason why I show up. Part of the same reason that part of this room shows up. Is why. This is better than going to Disneyland. It is. It's better than going to a movie. It is. It's better than hanging out with a bunch of people I don't want to hang out with. Do you understand? So for some people, this is their entertainment budget. It is. And that, guess what, is okay. You don't ever want to impose why your purpose is for being here on somebody else. You don't ever want to impose it on somebody else, because there are some people that this is the only place that they get smiled at. I will tell you, when my sister has come to these events, she has told me with tears running down her face, this is the only place I get compliments. My beautiful, gorgeous, stunning sister. Her, and then there was my cousin who was in LA. She was at Dynasty. She's lost like 200 pounds. And, you know, upstairs on the last night, Sunday night at Dynasty, she literally had tears in her eyes and put her hand on me and she says, Danny, I just have to tell you, this is the only place I have ever been. She's been to about 6 events. The only place I've ever been in my entire life. And she lost it where I get encouraged. Wow. She's like, I'm going home. to a family that doesn't encourage me, that doesn't appreciate me. I'm going home to my kids and my sister. Everybody is just negative. Everybody just attacks each other. This is the safe place I come to where I feel like I am an appreciated human being. And I don't feel like anyone's trying to take anything from me. But as soon as I step foot in my house, I've got my adult children who are going to try to take from me. I've got my sister who's going to put me down because I left something out. And then same with my sister. My sister says something very, very similar. And we're talking like an hour away from me. I mean, an hour within conversation of each other. I thought this is like in stereo. Where my sister said, I'm so grateful that you do these. I'm like, why do you say that? She says, it's the only place I come to where I feel like I'm cherished, I'm loved, I'm not judged because of all the failures in my past. I feel like I'm in a room with a bunch of people who have a past and we don't judge each other. She says, and sitting in those exercises, and it was so awesome because she was at Dynasty and she got to sit with some very powerful, beautiful women, and you guys made a major impact. You two made such an impact on my sister's life. As soon as I saw where she was sitting and I knew when those chairs turned around, I was like, thank you, Lord. My sister's going to be showered by the voices of three beautiful women, Regina Thompson, another one, right? Just telling my sister that she's a good woman, encouraging her, pointing out what her great attributes are, creating a safe place for my sister to be able to share some of her crap and have to work through some things. And so to hear my sister, she's like, that's the only place where I don't feel like I'm being judged. I don't feel like I'm being condemned. I'm not reminded of my past failures, and I'm not seeing my past failures before my eyes every day. Because every day that I'm at home, I see it everywhere. The memories of my marriage failures, the memories of my financial failures are surrounding me. So I am just so grateful that this is a place I can come to and feel like I'm wanted, feel like I'm welcome here. Like, she's like, there's not drama here. People are just nice. So I'm telling you, there's some people that are in your company and in your sales organization. The only reason why they're there is for that. Is because the environment in which they come from is not the environment and the culture that you're creating. And it's important for you to maintain and create that culture. Okay, so don't put people down, or like if they're not meeting the sales quotas or whatever, especially with a sales force, because your sales force is a voluntary sales force. That's what they are. And if they're there just to hang out, so be it. They're using your product. They probably are talking about it to a few people. They may not be getting the results as your number one top producer is. And don't you dare make your number one top producer make them the number one guy that you make feel more important, and you treat him with absolute extensive honor, and then you treat the guy who's showing up but not getting any sales like he's nothing. They're both your customer. They're both your customer. So, and by the way, that's biblical. Don't you be showing honor to the elites and only honor to them. You need to honor everybody that you possibly can. Treat everybody equally. Okay, so some people, they want to hang out. Some people are going to do a little bit. Some people are going to do a little bit for a little while, right? And guess what? That is their purpose there. Their purpose there is a little bit for a little while. Celebrate the little bit for the little while and be good about it. If they move on, as long as you don't criticize or condemn them, as long as you don't put them down, as long as you continue in relationship, again, it's not going to be the same kind of relationship, right? Because they're not around you all the time. But if they quit and they move on, still, just once in a while, I don't know if it's every 6 months or once a month or depending on the relationship, stay in some kind of touch. And I've got situations, I got somebody right now who's been around for a long time, for some reason won't return my text message. I don't know why. It is what it is, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. I'll find another way, whether I'm writing a letter or getting a message through somebody else, I'll find another way. Make sense? So some are going to do a little bit for a little while, celebrate the little bit for a little while, and still maintain, you know, some kind of communication. The others are going to do a bit more. That's great. All of them are going to tell you they want to go the distance, they believe in the message, and they're here, and they're going to be here forever. They're all going to say that. Do you understand me? They're all going to say that. And what you have to do as a leader is to discern, stop listening with your ears as to what they're saying, and start to discern by what you see. So not listen to what they say, but watch what they do. And honor what they do, okay? And then, of course, there's the guys that are totally committed forever. So, a path. There are some people that what you offer them, they're going to go for it, right? So, for example, these Mondays were created for a specific group. And as you notice, most of the questions, nobody asked questions. No, one person asked questions from that industry, which is totally blows my mind. So, which I'm grateful. But how many of you have heard of Smarter Networker? Okay, awesome. How many of you have used their free boot camp? It's our free boot camp, okay? How many of you are pro members of that thing? Okay, awesome. All right, so for those of you who don't even know, who doesn't know what Smarter Networker is? Okay, cool. So I want to take 5 minutes to tell you about who they are, because it's a path and a plan that I personally put together for you who are in a networking type of a business. If you are a referral-based business, we spent a ton of money in creating a website specifically for you where it's a sanitized sandbox, if you will, where all of our training materials that have to do with that industry and that market is all on one webpage, and it's a free website. So that has a 30-day boot camp. So basically what I did is I took 1 hour trainings on each topic, okay? That's what the website looks like currently. All right, so, you know, remember, it's a little bit different than what I showed you on Saturday, but it's okay. So there's the initial contact. So this is a 1 hour call, right? So where I go into great detail about how to make that initial contact, where I'm actually reading a script and role playing with somebody, right? The next one is a presentation, then there is a close. So each one of these are 1 hour conference calls, if you will. Where there are very detailed training. These are all, it's all an hour. It's 30 days of it. It's a boot camp to where when you enroll inside that program, and it's absolutely free. I think it's free. Might not be free. Is it still free? It's still, the 30 days is still free. So what is that? So if you're getting somebody started in that type of a business, all right, and I'm taking 5 minutes on this. If you're starting somebody, and by the way, this completely applies to you bringing on board a brand new employee as well. Use the same concept, use the same structure of getting someone started in the right way. So when you sign somebody up inside of that organization, what I used to do is get someone immediately listening to something right away. And the reason is if someone is saying yes to a different future, and they're going to go home to a spouse who didn't say yes to the different future. They're going to get inundated by everyone that's around them that doesn't give a rip about a better future, who's completely negative about what their present, past, and future might look like, right? So they came and they saw a presentation, or they heard a presentation, or they saw a presentation on a website. And so now what I want to do is I want to begin to take up real estate in their mind about where we're going to be going and how we're going to be working together. Because they've got so much real estate in their head, I got to start getting some kind of positioning inside of their head. Do I have them thinking about their future and where they're going? So the very first call inside the vault of the boot camp is actually about excuses. And so even if, and just like when I was talking to Chelsea, right, even if the person doesn't end up doing, like they haven't given me money for an application or they haven't bought the top package yet, I'm still going to engage in relationship with them. And I'm going to turn them on to what our preliminary training is, you want to use that word, and they're going to get over to the boot camp and start listening immediately to the call on there. And so the first call is on excuses. It's called the one thing stopping you. It's a powerhouse. So if they give me any excuses about not having the money or, you know, I need to talk to my spouse or whatever, I say, hey, listen, let's get you started in our preliminary training so you can kind of see what's behind the scenes and some of the things that you'll be doing so you can learn the processes that it's going to take in order to succeed. This is just like any job. In any job, there's processes to learn, there's new language to learn, and there's results that come out of the language and come out of the processes that you're learning also. So I have them listen to that very first call that first night. Okay. The second day and for the next 30 days, they listen to one call every day. They're going to get an email reminding them to be listening to what those particular things are. So now what we have is a follow-up system for your people. Okay. And it's all training, and it's not selling them on your product. It's not selling them on any product. It simply is telling them what their next step is in getting themselves started. And it's communicating to them in such a way that professionalizes your industry. People love to work in prestigious things, represent prestigious products, represent prestigious companies. And I represent that entire industry from a millionaire prestigious place versus Amway's a place you don't want to be. There's three people that are awake. It's so perfect that we're ending in 37 minutes. She got it. Anyway, you know, it doesn't sound like a pyramid scam is what I'm saying. And so your people are going to be conditioned, the real estate in their mind that we're taking ground is that this is a profession. And this requires a professional commitment and professional representation. And this is the terminology that you're going to be using as you're representing this particular industry. And that's how the boot camp will begin to condition their brain of how to see a prospect, how to communicate to a prospect, how to present it, how to close it, how to follow up with them. And again, it's its own follow-up system. So you don't have to create a follow-up system. Just get them through that system. And through that system, they will be picking up the phone. I can't tell you how many stories that we have of people who people have been in the industry for like 5 years, never picked up the phone once to make a phone call. So basically, they were a wannabe distributor, glorified wholesale user, saying they want to make six figures. They get into the boot camp, and by day two, they're actually on the phone now. They broke a five-year-long barrier just by what? Listening to those calls. Just get into the boot camp, start listening to it. So my recommendation for everybody in the room, if you're a part of that industry, I would be listening to that 30-day boot camp like every 30 days. Why? When you get old in anything, you get stale. And when you get stale, the only thing that I have found to refresh me is going back to what started me. Go back to what started me. Why? Because it stimulated me then, and it touched something inside of me that got me to make a move. And it kept me focused on what was important right then and there. And so when we've hung out a little too much, we start asking complicated questions of things that will never happen. That 30-day boot camp keeps you focused on the things that actually produce results. So the things that produce results is picking up the phone, reading a script. And as you hear that going on, you're like, okay, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. All right? So that 30-day boot camp. Of course, there's the pro membership. The pro membership that has tons more training that's in there. So it's like once you're through that 30-day boot camp, you just keep going. Day after day after day, there's at least 365 days worth of training that's inside of there. It's like once a day, I'm at Smarter Networker, and I'm listening to this thing. Not only listening to it, but here it is. Here's what I want you to do. You make it in your calendar that you and I have an appointment. You and I have an appointment every day. You tell me what time of day we're meeting. Is it 7 o'clock in the morning? Is it 8 o'clock in the morning? Is it 9 o'clock in the morning? What time of day do you and I have a personal appointment to where, all right, you're on your phone, you're going over to Smarter Networker, it's day 28, I press play, Danny and I are talking. And you do what Danny says on day 28, if it's day 28. Does that make sense? Do you know accountability is going to take you across the finish line? I had to make up accountability in my head because he didn't have anybody. You might need to also. That's kind of important, accountability. So if you set an appointment for yourself, all right, it's me and her at 9 o'clock. And then if something comes up, you say, you have to imagine, like, Danny, can we move my 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock today? Would you ever dare ask that question? Do you see what I'm saying? Would you dare flake on me? Would you freaking dare flake on me? Would you dare flake on me? Do you hear what I'm saying? So if it was that, okay, starting tomorrow is day one of the boot camp. Tomorrow's day one. What time are we meeting? She's 7 o'clock. I'm meeting with her at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'm meeting with him at 5 a.m. 6 p.m. After the day is all done? I'm not a morning person. Well, I'm cooking dinner at 6 p.m., honey. Lunch break. You and me have a lunch date. 9 a.m. Okay, so you hear me? So it should be in your calendar. Tomorrow that's the time, and that's going to be the time. I take a day of rest. I recommend you do too. So Saturdays, we're not talking. We're not talking on Saturday, but we can talk on Sunday. You pick your day of rest. My day of rest is Saturday. Your day of rest might be Sunday, but, you know, you can imagine. This week I'll do it with you on Sunday. Your day of rest. So if you wouldn't think twice about giving me excuse or changing the appointment, then you better make sure you keep whatever that set appointment is that you said that we have. And so it's 30 days in that boot camp, and then I want you to tell me what the result was. And you're doing what it is, right? If you paid $500 for 40 minutes to talk to me, do you think that you would actually, like, ask me the questions, I'd tell you what to do, and you go, nah, that's okay. When you spent $500 for 40 minutes, how many of you probably do what I directed you to do? So what's the difference between the one-hour appointment that we have on Smarter Network or at the boot camp? What's the difference? Okay, don't raise your hand unless you're going to do it. Who's giving me 30 days? Every day? 6 days a week. Again and again and again, okay? And your job is to report to me the results, because I don't work with anybody that doesn't get results. I want you to show up on my Facebook page. Yep. Show up on my Facebook page. Come to my page. Tell me what day it is, what you listened to, what you applied. Give me the result. Thanks for our appointment today, Danny. That's how you can start the post. Yeah, the 2% Nation is doing that. We have a Facebook page called 2% Nation. Copy and paste, do it on both. Copy and paste, do it on both. Copy and paste, do it on both. Okay? Who's in? Okay? And every one of you are entrepreneurs, so Smarter Networkers page, do it from there. Do that boot camp. After that 30 days, get into your pro membership and just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going and just keep doing. Just keep doing. Well, see, that's just a 1 hour a day thing, right? Do you have other hours in the day that you should be learning? All of my hours. I love your smile, by the way, Portia. And thanks so much for responding so much on our Facebook page and on our live videos. You too, Lily. It's really sweet of you guys. You're always there for us. Appreciate it. So she says, what about all the other products? There's many other hours in the day. It really is how fast do you want to go. It's how fast you want to go and how fast you want to get that head of yours cleaned out. And how important it is to keep your head on track. How much real estate do you want to lend over to your 2% future? How much real estate do you want to lend to that? Because right now, 98% of the real estate of your head is where? Inner colon. It's in my colon. That's awesome. Okay, all right? So that's completely up to you. How fast do you want to go? Now, what does this also mean? Don't do this alone. Who else are you going to bring along with you? If this is about helping other people to succeed, it's not your job to tell them how to succeed. It's your job to direct them to where you're learning how to succeed. Where are you being fed? What are you participating in? And so go home and recruit at least one. If you've got a sales organization, recruit 10, 20. How many new ones are you going to add each week? Every new one needs to join on day one, right? And you tell them, this is your assignment every day. This is the assignment. So whether they become that prospect or not, and this is what's awesome about what we've created between these two websites. So then there's DannyJohnson.com. Friends, you're going to be running into people who have needs with their families. You're running into people who have major financial needs. They have debt issues. They hate their jobs. They've got challenges with their health. They have all kinds of challenges. And there's a website called DannyJohnson.com that is a hub that you can direct them to that's a full circle loop. They can't hang out on that page for 13 years and not come around. I'm joking. No, because she's been participating. You've been involved. You've been engaged. I mean, once people get engaged, like I told you, Sarah and Tommy, like before they even knew I was their family, they were learning about this person named Danny Johnson. How weird. Stranger than strange. Do you see what I mean? So, and those are people, again, that are engaged on that website that I personally have not met, but I have a feeling they've talked about me as though we've sat down and had coffee together a few times. Yeah, you know what Danny says? You know what Danny says is they're like, we just chumped it, man. We're just friends. They've been having dates with me and telling people about it, but I didn't know it. It is awesome. Thank you, Lord. I love that. That's very nice. You say nice things about me. You could be saying something else. They came from my past. They might. But who cares? I already told you everything. So I'm a former hoe. It was Poe. I was a Poe ho. I did drugs. I was an adulteress. Right? Here we go. Bad person. Not no mo. Not no. What'd you say? I can't see behind me. Exactly right. That's not what's behind me. All I can see is what's ahead of me. Y'all is good looking. I like the pink hair too. Okay, so make it a goal that you're going to add people to the group that you are leading to go on this path of every day we have an appointment, every day we have an appointment, every day we have an appointment, right? What if you're adding one a week? What if you're adding one a day? What if you're adding two a week? What if you're adding three a week? Could you imagine? Think about it. You're getting results and so are they. You're not babysitting them. Like, this is what I'm doing. It's up to you to show up. You want to have success? You want to pay off all your debt? You want to build your future? You want to be a better mom? You want to be a better dad? You want to have more fun? Like, I'm going to be having in exactly 9 hours. 8 hours. 8 hours away. No, because we talk for like 3 hours before that special talking happens. So, all right, I'm like 12 hours away. I got to come back. Okay. So, another question that comes up a lot, and another way of helping people to succeed, as many of you have heard, I've personally used these events to help bring people to the place of wanting to make a decision to succeed and then persist on that. How do you get people here? How many of you have that question? I've tried to get people here. How do I get them here? Let me tell you how not to do it. Okay, remember this. There's an initial contact, right? Then there's a presentation. In the initial contact, you need to form the person, right? And where we're forming them, what are we looking for? What are we looking for? Right? And this right here, the end, most important. We're looking for their needs, right? Okay, so then you send them to a presentation. The presentation is at DannyJohnson.com. That's where the presentation is. For those of you that are in the home-based business world, your presentation is right there in Smarter Networker. You get them into the 30-day boot camp, they're going to hear about first steps every single day. They hear about it every single day. So let the process do the job. So there's the presentation. So the presentation, in our case, is on a website. Okay, and or not only on the website, but also on Facebook. If you have them like that page or Twitter or Instagram, Facebook is probably the better one. That's the one where we're the most active. So if you are sending them to some videos or even emailing them a video, right? Even the daily fix that they can be engaging on, okay? So all of that is, all of those forms are engagement, and that engagement eventually works itself out to where somebody decides to start climbing into more commitment with their relationship with us, all right? So you contact them from where? How are you going to contact them? How many of you have personal people that you wish were here with you, right? So they're on your list of resources. Form them. You find a need. You bring them to a presentation. How do you lead them to the presentation? You lead them with their sign to the presentation. Did you hear me? Don't assume they want help with their finances. Find out specifically what they need help with. Find out specifically what's stressing them out. Find out specifically the thing in their job that's driving them crazy, okay? So if they're having a job issue, you drive them to the website about job domination and tell stories. So the presentation, remember, comes equipped with stories, testimonials. All right, are you with me, guys? So you have your list of resources. You form your list of resources. You find their sign. With their sign, you lead them with their needs, with their goals. You lead them directly to the website. Predominantly, I would say the videos on our website. There's testimonial videos. We have a page that says testimonials, and there's stories that are right there. Even if you lead them to Facebook and tag, some of you guys are friends with each other on Facebook, tag the person that you're wanting them to talk to. Right? Hey, Tammy Watson, she's also a realtor. You got to hear her story. Tammy's tagged in that. Tammy then responds, this is just cut and paste because I know she's got it probably all typed out. Just as many of you have your stories, your 30-second stories all typed out. You can make a post on Facebook with someone's story, tag that person, and then start that engagement process as well. So you bring them to the web. Again, all I'm doing is teaching you how to, the same thing I've been teaching all weekend. And then there has to be the closing question. So after you direct them to the web and you say, okay, here, I'm sending you a link, or I'm texting you a link to a testimonial, even on YouTube, you can even send them there. Best, I think, to send it to our website and find that testimonial video under testimonials. And then you follow up with them and you say, what did you like about what you just saw? Tell me more about that. So are you serious about what you told me earlier, that you want to pay off that $100,000 worth of debt, that you want to come out from under the stress of your job, and you want to be able to feel alive again and feeling like you have a good path that's ahead of you? Yes, I am. Great. Welcome aboard. Let's get you registered for the San Antonio First Step Success. Can't wait for you to meet these people that you just saw in that video. How exactly do you spell your first and last name? What's the card number you want to use? Here's the link to the hotel. By the way, I use Kayak to book my flights. I'll send you a link. Walk them through that process. Oh, and by the way, I promise you, you'll be sitting in that room wishing you had the closest people to you with you there. Let me help you get them there. That's it. Whatever you do, don't go home and do this. Oh my gosh, I just came out of this seminar. Danny Johnson's so cool. Anyway, so they talked about ego, and I met these people. They were like crying, and they were forgiving, and they talked about shame, and like, you know, 500 people are on the floor crying. It was amazing. It was so amazing. And then, you know, then she talked about we can't go to Starbucks anymore. And that we can't be brand whores, and we have to go sell all of our things and follow her. Oh, and I met this couple. They paid off $600,000 worth of debt, and they're living on lounge furniture in their house. They have no furniture. They're actually sleeping on a mattress on the floor. And I met this other guy. He's a contractor. He sold his big house, and now he lives in a tiny little apartment, and he's happy. And I met this other guy. He has like 17 children, and he has an old Suburban, and he's happy. It's so cool. You're gonna love it. And then, you know, I went and I formed somebody, and by the way, I think you're a Ruby. And you know what else? I also met a bunch of people. They're in those pyramid scams, but they were cool. None of them tried to recruit me. I don't think they'll recruit you either. And Danny Johnson, she's kind of a little religious, but she says crap. And she has tattoos. I think you'll like it. It's the worst thing you could do. You see, here's what happened. Here at DannyJohnson.com, we make things that are not cool really cool, like paying off debt. Living below your means. That's cool here. We make selling all your stupid crap that is not making you happy and paying off your debt and using the money that you're making to do the things that you really want to do really cool. You're going home to swim against the grain. You're going home to houses filled with 98%ers, and they will not understand the language that you're going to speak. And the perspective that has shifted in your head has not yet shifted in theirs. So whatever you do, you cannot communicate to them as though they are one of you. The only ones you can communicate that language to is a graduate from here. Don't go home and talk about all the steps in war on debt. It doesn't make any sense. Do you realize what I had to put you through in order to get your mind to be open enough to think about you paying off your debt? Do you have any idea? We had to move heaven and earth. We had to shift your ego out of the way. We had to walk you through a forgiveness exercise of yourself and others. We had Saturday night where all these things about perfection and shame, you had so many things brought and revealed to you and broken off of you to even bring you to the place where you were even humble enough to look at the reality of your finances. You're welcome. But however, comma, if you go home and you just say, hey, listen, let me print out your bank statement. Let me show you you're wasting money all over the place. This is not going to fix their problem, I promise you. You see, your mind had to be shifted to multiple different places in order for you to even be open-minded enough to even hear the truth. And once you heard it, you're like, that makes so much sense. This is not rocket science. I can do this. So you can't go home and even take your notes and have a little presentation with everybody because, number one, you don't have the credibility. Number two, they are simply going to take what you're saying and put it in the category of their mind of something they've already been to. And how many of you would say this is nothing like anything you've ever been to? So therefore, you can't go home and explain it to be something or explain it like it sounds like something else that they have been to. The only way to be able to express to them what it is to let that, the thing that sold you, express it to them. Let the website that, you know, is a multi-million dollar website communicate to them. We have the results. Hello, you got here. Somebody, how many of you, someone sent you to the website? No, oh, five people? Really? Then how in the world did you register? How many of you purchased your ticket on the website? Right? You purchased your ticket at DannyJohnson.com. Okay? Did someone tell you to go to DannyJohnson.com? Someone told you to go to DannyJohnson.com. Okay? Now, the best and quickest way to get people here is testimonials. And tell lots of them. And I was so excited. My little godson is sitting upstairs, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to get people to come. I don't know. All I know is it works. Like, he was listening. He was listening. I don't know. All I know is, okay? And that's what works. So when people say, oh, that kind of sounds like that big 7-foot tall guy that, like, jumps on stage and screams and spits at everybody and makes everyone walk on fire at the end. You know, I understand what you're saying. Yeah, I hear you. But all I know is, yeah, I heard from Jackie. And Jackie grew up in a trailer, lost his dad when he was 10. He was totally in poverty. He had $70,000 worth of debt. He was a nurse. He tried multiple different types of avenues to try to be able to increase his income and failed every single time until he came to First Steps to Success. After he came to First Steps, he was able to make a 6-figure income year after year after year after year after year, walking away from his nursing career. All I know is that I met Aaron. And Erin was a stressed-out chiropractor with 4 children, and her marriage was in a downward spindle, and she was working 60 hours a week, even though she had 4 kids at home. She barely ever saw her kids. Like, she often didn't even have dinner with her children. And yet she came to First Steps, and she realized, my life is out of control. My kids are out of control. I'm going to end up in a divorce. I got to fix this. And she learned some really powerful tools that helped her restore her marriage, pay off $1,008,000 worth of debt. She's become completely debt-free. She took her chiropractic business that was doing okay and got it to $1 million mark and then started something on the side in real estate where she's also generated another $1 million. And not only was her marriage restored, she now has baby number 5 and her kids are honorable and they are now vacationing all over the place and she cut her hours down to 28 hours a week. So I don't know about who this guy is about fire and 7 feet tall and spitting. All I do know is, I saw 113 people with my own eyes, go forward to give a testimony that they paid off $24 million worth of debt in an average of 2 years. All I know is I met Tammy. I saw Tammy. She is in real estate, and she was failing. When she first came to her first seminar, she had not even nickels in her pocket. She came completely on faith, hoping that she'd find a place to stay, hoping that there she'd be able to find some food. She came looking great. She actually didn't even like the main speaker. It's true. She was broker than a joke, but she made $125,000 that year coming out of her first steps. She's paid off $300,000 worth of debt and restored her marriage. So I don't know about fire. All I know is that if you want to pay off debt, you want to have a smoking hot marriage, you want to be able to travel around the world, you want to be able to cut your hours back and become more efficient, all I know is you and I are going to be in San Antonio at the next First Steps to Success. We're going to be at the Grand Hyatt on the Riverwalk having a blast. Now, I'm sure you don't want to be the only one left behind. I'm sure you don't want to be the one that everyone is going, oh, you should have been here, because that would suck. So Are you ready to pay off your debt? Are you ready to increase your income? Are you ready to have a better relationship? Great. Welcome aboard. Here's your first step success application. Can't wait to see you there. Do you understand? So when they ask you questions, you don't answer the question with anything but a story. You answer with nothing but a story. So before you leave here tonight, take pictures with some of the people that you saw on that stage. Take pictures with them. Get down their story. Connect with them on social media. And if you try to recruit them into what you're doing, I'm going to chop your head off. No, I won't. I'm not going to go to prison for you. But anyway. But the bottom line is don't do that. We honor each other in our own professions inside of this. So connect on Facebook, but don't try to be recruiting each other into something. That honor what they got. You honor what they got, okay? So anyway, answer those questions with, I don't know, or, hey, man, I hear you, I understand. However, I did hear you say that you wanted to pay off debt. That kind of reminds me, like Jackie and his wife, they paid off $246,000 worth of debt. So you keep, again, closing is a closed loop. They give you an objection. They say, oh, that kind of sounds like this Est thing I went to back in 1974. Yeah, you know, it reminds me of that S thing. Oh, is that one of those seminars where people just, you know, they just dance and get excited and, you know, they brainwash you? You know, I hear what you're saying, but all I know is story, 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 story. Pound them with stories and then right back to what their need is. So are you ready to get out of debt? Are you, whatever it was that they said that their need was, are you ready to get promoted more in your job? Are you ready to grow that business of yours far beyond what you're able to do right now? Great. Welcome aboard. Let's get you started. Okay? All right, cool. Well, that's awesome. That's another thing I want to talk about. So we are going to be meeting up on Smarter Networker, and we are going to be... Oh, okay, cool. Yay. I meant to give these away on Saturday, and I completely forgot. Stop it. Don't move. Don't move. Now, the only person I will consider investing into is someone who's going to make the commitment to actually doing something with it. I have no intention of giving this to somebody where this is going to land on their shelf collecting dust with the last 17 gurus that you've signed up for. So this is Unlimited Success. It's in three different parts. I meant to give it away on Saturday. I didn't. It's going to start with Magnetic Influence, which has all the core rapport methodology. Okay. So core rapport methodology is, form and, right? So I think I shared about 8 of the steps on Saturday about what's inside of here. This is, I think, 4 hours? It's a lot of hours. It's a lot of hours of content. And I'm basically going to base it on this. Who already has some of our products? Wow. Who already has Unlimited Success? Okay. Who listens to it? I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. Okay, who doesn't have Unlimited Success? Okay. All of them don't have it. Can you tell me why you don't have it? I really want to know. I really want to know why you don't have it. It's your first time here? You're 15. You don't look like you're 15. You're 15 and you're fast-tracked? You're in the front of the front. Awesome. Okay, that's pretty. Is this your daughter? No? It's your daughter. She's beautiful. And she's 15.
Grandma.
Nice. You look amazing. You look amazing. Okay, so this is it's about taking control of any conversation, building trust, and attracting success. That's what Magnetic Influence is. I think it's like 2 or 3 or so many hours of content. So I think you have to tell me why you want it.
I want it because I haven't been here in like 10 years. And I'm repenting and I need it. And my sister-in-law, who watched a 3-minute video, decided to come like 2.5 weeks ago. And my brother, who divorced her, is coming to the next person. Nothing short of a miracle in my family.
Okay, I'm done. Proud of you. Welcome home. And how awesome that you have your sister-in-law here, which means you've engaged in a relationship even though your brother did something stupid.
He's an emerald and she's a sapphire.
Oh, did they go marry someone else yet? You'll probably end up remarried again after the next first steps. That has happened so many times. Okay, so conditioning for success. Conditioning for success is all the overcoming all the heart issues. It's about overcoming the ego stuff, what's stopping you, fear, right, blame, defensiveness, all of that kind of stuff. So this is about conditioning the heart for success because success is an inside game. Do you understand that? Success is an inside game. It's not an outside game. It's an inside game. And the more you work on you, the more unusually successful you would be. But why should you have this, Rebecca? Rebecca, I did remember your name, and I saw you on stage about 4 hours ago, and I know I'm older. However, I do not have dementia yet. I hope to never have it. I hope to never have it. But yeah, I mean, you're surprised. So why do you need conditioning for success? By the way, I want you guys to write these questions down. Why? Why should I have it? And answer it. Answer your own objections. Do you hear me? Do you know that whatever objections it is that you have is the one that you will communicate to your prospects? So you have to answer your own objections because you're carrying your own objections into the business relationship. You are. You're carrying it right into the conversation. Remember the young man, Carson? His was, I'm too young. They won't trust me. That was his own personal objection. So earlier, I handled her objection of what? She's afraid that she's going to be rejected. Okay? So I want you to sell me why you need this, and you better ask me the closing question. Yep. And so therefore. Close the loop. My name's Danny Johnson. Well, I don't know how it's going to get from my hands to your body.
So, Danny Johnson, are you ready?
You're on the right track.
Are you ready to change my life?
So good. The closed loop. Okay, so for all of us, okay, how many of you found out this weekend that you had a bit more pride than you thought you had? How many of you found out this weekend that you found out that you had quite a more ego than you thought you had, and you thought everybody else was the problem, and you came to the quick solution that I suck? And you're kind of proud about the fact that you suck, and because why? Because once you can admit it, then you can fix it. You can fix it. You know it has to be fixed, but you have to close the loop. So it's one thing to confess that I'm confessing before 800 people that I have been prideful. So my next step is that I am going to take a hold of conditioning for today. I'm going to work on this so I stay out of that prideful position. So Danny Johnson, are you willing to help me in my goal of no longer being prideful and working on myself to have success? To support you.
Support
profit skills, which is actually a double dose, right? The other ones were two singles. This is a double dose. I think it has about six different CDs that are in there. And that's the core profit skills. So that's the initial contact, right? And by the way, guys, here at First Steps, we only get to scratch the surface of what's inside of all of the packages, right? All the meat is inside all those packages. I can only touch on a few things at a time just because the sake of time, right? So what you're getting the whole packed story of the core profit skills inside of there. Girl, listen to that. I want you to wear that CD out. Or I mean, there's six of them, I think, in there. Wear those suckers out. And good job supporting somebody else and not being jealous that you weren't picked, but instead buoying her up. That was right on. I have six figures in 6 months. This is a very powerful, powerful product. And really what this is it gets down to the very basics of everything that you should be doing starting in a brand new business. And I mean the very basics, from the initial contact with your customer, how to actually create a customer base out of absolutely nothing. Really what those conversations, those very streamlined, simple conversations should be like. That's six figures in 6 months. I'd love to give it away. Okay. Okay, hold on. All right, you in the back with your arms up, you are there. Why? Why in the world should I invest into you? It's $99, it's 10 CDs. You tell me why. Right? So, Danny Johnson, you got to ask me the closing question.
Danny Johnson, will you put that in my hand so that I may promote you and change the world and make a great nation twice the size of what you saw today?
That was good. You got me. Okay. Six figures in 6 months. My girlfriend, Jennifer, we had a season where we didn't work together. And in that season, she used six figures in 6 months to, what did she do with it? To train up her bankers. She worked in the bank, and she trained up her bankers and her tellers. They played it every single day in their staff room. Yeah. This is like a $250 product. It's called Prospecting Close Your Way to Millions. You want to talk about a laser focus of prospecting and closing? This is a very powerful, powerful product. It's probably the best product that we have for any sales training. And this is about 7 hours of content for just prospecting, just closing. So this product would only go to those who are actually actively daily prospecting, not for somebody who's thinking about it, not for somebody who, you know, wants to get started doing it, not for somebody who, you know, is thinking about quitting, not for someone that's not committed. I'm telling you, this is for someone who wants to be an absolute pro. This is the pro. I'm sorry, I gotta go to that one. Tell me why. Tell me why. Okay, you're going to follow it. Okay.
This ain't the last time you see me.
It better not be the last time I see you. Okay. That's awesome. That product is for those who want to go pro. You don't want to go pro, stay away from that one. It's too much for you. No, it's the truth. That product is too much for you. If you don't want to go pro, it's too much for you. Okay? Here's dynamic duplication. How many of you are visual learners? Okay? So for you visual learners, I am also. I am a full-on visual learner. I don't do well with you telling me what to do. I have to see it actually in action, and that's exactly what this is. This is an entire DVD series where you will watch me in action prospecting somebody. You'll watch me in action motivating people, watch me in action doing everything. And it's a really powerhouse of a system. We play this one in our office often. So that's like 2, 4, 6, I don't know. I think it's 10 DVDs. It's a lot of DVDs. And I remember in my very early days being going to my office 2 hours before we opened and watching 6 a.m. I'd show up. We opened at 8, and I watched 2 hours of DVDs one day watching the same exact DVD, taking notes. Then the next day show up at 6 a.m. for those 2 hours and mute and just watch and study the body language of the millionaire that was on those DVDs. I did that for 30 straight days, did $250,000 worth of sales. Okay, so you want to train your nonverbal communication? That's how you'll do it, okay? This is dynamic duplication. It comes with an entire workbook. Okay, so again, this is like, these are for serious people. This isn't for a bunch of amateurs. These are like, I must, I must, I must. Okay, now guess what? Guess what? Harlan? Woo! Absolutely. It's yours. Been so faithful to us. Can I very quickly, and then we have to run off the stage, can I get the DJC team to come and take a bow for the awesome job that you've done? Get up here, guys, and take a bow. You got to make it quick, gang. Get over here, Derek. Okay. Well, this is our absolutely stunning, gorgeous, talented, amazing team that has been flown in. Hi, Sydney. So amazing. Jane, first time I'm seeing you today, or the whole freaking weekend. Anyway, this is the behind the scenes and some of the front of the scenes people. They all, actually, not all of them work back in our corporate office, but most of them do. And they all are incredibly important with everything they do. They love you so much. They pray for you every single day. They work so hard on themselves every day. Just like what we ask our clients to do, they still treat themselves as though they are a client. And they came to this event to have things change in them as well. They're not the kind of people that think they're better than anybody else. We are all in this together. Every single one of us are in this together. Jennifer is our director of events. Jen and I have been working together. We've been together for 26. It's 26 in September. It's been 26 years and she started as a nanny. She was a client and then a nanny, and then she now is the director of events. So she's really the one who has organized and worked with every single person on this team. Laura Sinkowski, she's in our leadership development department next to Jen. She's actually the one who has worked directly with Sarah Harnish to be able to help Sarah get those 52 people here and works with various different people in here. If you want help getting people to come to the events, put them in front of Laura. She'd be happy to help you. We have others at our offices as well. Mariana, and we also have Tammy Price. Those three are on that team, and they're incredibly dedicated to helping you grow your business and grow your organization, and they will help you do that. Derek, he is who we call IT Jesus. The IT savior. Derek made a major sacrifice to be here with us this weekend instead of the rest of our guys that were off on a camping trip, as we have brand new systems that he's just put into place and just really wanted to make sure that everything was going to run smoothly. Next year, he'll be at that camp out and make sure his replacement, not full time, meaning somebody representing IT will be here instead. I think his name is Andrew, because Roman ain't giving up that camp out either. Anyway, so he won't be here next year this time, but Derek has done an absolute phenomenal job. He's been with us for now a year. He was a client for, 6 years? 2011? Yeah, 6 years. So he came back in 2011. He's paid off over $800,000 worth of debt. His mother-in-law is here this weekend. He's an incredible man, father, husband, really devoted to the mission, amazing problem solver, and we love working with him. He's a brilliant, brilliant guy. Then we have Ms. Marcosi, who's not going to be Ms. Marcosi for long. She got engaged. She's brand new to the team. She's been a volunteer for quite some time, and Jen's been grooming her to bring her on board as what we call auxiliary staff, which just comes in to serve at the events. And so she's been running around like crazy. She's actually been a part of these events since you were 16? 17. She was 17, and it's been 6 years? 5 years? 5 years. It's been 5 years that her and her family has been coming to the events. Jane Mock first came here in 2011. Carlos Campos' first event. Jane Mock. Her first event, and she also is our auxiliary staff, serving in multiple different capacities, does an incredible job. They've been on auxiliary staff for a couple years now. Yeah, she's awesome. And then this gorgeous little thing right next to her, Elena McCracken, has been coming to the events since she was 16 years old. Elena is actually in our marketing department, and she was filling in for Roman, our son, who's an event coordinator that works just underneath Jen. And so anyway, she came in because she used to do that job also. So she was here serving all weekend in multiple different capacities. Were you on registration? Yeah. So she's actually the second person in command this entire weekend. She's 23 years old now. No debt, totally debt-free, which a lot of these guys have done that as well. But anyway, Elena, she communicates through you through email. So some of the emails and the promos and stuff like that, she's the girl with the fingertips actually writing a lot of that content. Her mother is right next to her, Diane McCracken. Yes. She's the one that heads up our Danny Johnson University. She's the person that helps to keep you on track. If you've made the commitment to go all in with the entire library, she's going all in with you to keep you focused and to keep you on track and hold you accountable. Her husband, Butch, is our general manager. She's an amazing woman. She's also in our marketing department. She's just joined that. And she's the person who drove all of those materials across the country. She actually drove to Pennsylvania to pick them up and then drove here. So she does all the transportation as well. Nate the Great. He's in our client services department. He actually started part-time helping me tutor my two sons in areas that I suck at, and he's smart. So, and he's in our client services department. You've been with us for 3 years now? Yeah, it's been 3 years. He's an incredible servant. This guy is incredible. So, so smart, deep thinker, carries so much wisdom at such a young age. He's pretty hot and very single. Resumes within. Sydney is off the market completely. She's only 17, going into her senior year. I actually grew up with her father, and I was a neighbor to her father. He was the only guy in high school who was ever nice to me, was her daddy. So they came 6 years ago, 2011. It was Jane Mox and Carlos Campos' first event as well. And now she's auxiliary team being trained up to travel with us, and she wants to be a part of the company. Mona McGrady and I have been together 17 years. 17 years, so excited. This friend of mine, we raised our children together, and she really has been one to spur me on in lots of ways. She's actually here to pray all weekend and to serve. Pray for you, pray for the hotel, pray for all of us. And she serves in multiple different capacities. Chad is the guy who says, shh. Chad. He also is the voice of the Danny Johnson Show, and he works for King's Ransom. He is a part of, he heads up our donor relations department, also takes care of the website over there. He's a man of many, many talents. He's been a part of this community for 6 years. He's been a part of the community for 6 years now, first as a client, and now he's full-time on board. Carrie. Carrie has been here for 9.5 years. Carrie has been a client for 9.5 years, has amazing, amazing results. Used War on Debt to save $60,000. She was already debt-free, but she used War on Debt to use it to save money. 60 grand she saved in how long? Not very long. I thought it was like 6 months or something ridiculous like that. I can't remember. And she ate out of her pantry for over 6 months, and she ended up losing 60 pounds. It was hilarious. Anyway, so Carrie now is full-time as of what day? On the 17th. On the 17th this month, she's full-time in our events department, moving to the town in which we all live in. We are so excited that she's on board. And then my future, here in just a couple of months, daughter-in-law, that is Rachel. Rachel, soon to be Johnson, currently Phillips. Rachel did the video for the entire weekend, but she also works in our marketing department. She is absolutely talented. I could talk about Rachel for hours, of course. She's going to be my family. Yeah, actually family, but I am so freaking blessed. She's been coming here since she was 16 years old. Her entire family has paid off over $1 million worth of debt. They all have crazy assets. In fact, uncles that were not married that are now married. I mean, their family story is amazing. Her uncle was the first to come. You saw him on the screen. His name was Paul Westling. He tripled his income, and he says, but that's not important. Who I am now as a father and a husband. Now that's what really is important. He's a blonde, spiky-haired guy. Tripled his income. He works in IT. Incredible guy. He's the one that then got her mom, and then the two of them got her grandparents and all their other siblings, and the list went on, and they've just been crowding people through these events for the last six years. So talk about changing a community, changing a family, and their whole story of how they used to be kind of digging on each other, and now it's an edifying family. That family is changed forever. So very excited. But anyway, I'm just so very blessed to have her on our team, and more importantly, to have her part of our family. And she's going to produce my grandchildren. Five. 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 Shooting for five. She loves kids and she's great with them, and I'll do lots of babysitting. I'd be happy to help in every possible way that you would need them. And waiting 5 years, I don't know if that's a great idea, but you can if you want, but I'm going to pray for some sneaky seeds. I want some Johnson happening there. Anyway, yeah. Anyway, so from all of us to all of you, we love you. God bless you. Thank you for a great day. Bye.